Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank Tom Nelson, as always. You know, there's a reason why I say he's one of the best guests that I've ever had in all the years that I've done radio. There's just something very special about him. And I think at the root of it all is maybe the fact that he's the son of a minister. You know, that's not always the case. But if you find a one that is and that is genuine, maybe that's at the root of who he is the morality that is within him. So anyway, good to have Senator. Oh. I'm sorry, Tom Nelson.
Predicting the future now.
Yeah, he's a candidate for United States Senate. I wanted to talk a little bit now about what I think separates people on the right and people on the left. There are a lot of different things, but one of the things that I think is clear. And that's, you know, morality. There clearly is a dividing line between people on the right and people on the left when it comes to moral issues. And I don't see how or understand how those people who are on the right who dismiss morality as if it, you know, doesn't have any significance at all in one's life, and that, you know, they can have their own morality. There's no such thing as having your own morality. Morality comes from some place, and it certainly comes from a spiritual perspective. And I don't care what your religion is or what your denominationalism is, you know, at the root of all of it is treat people fair and right. Okay? I mean, that's what it is. And you know, we know that is not happening when it comes to those on the right. Again, I still don't understand, Sam, why we keep seeing the ones on the right when right seems to be at the root of morality and wrong seems to be, you know what I mean?
It is ironic.
How is it possible that the Republicans and the conservatives wind up with the term on the right?
Good God-fearing people. I don't understand. Why aren't you doing God's work?
I know. But here's, if poverty is a moral issue, then the U.S. is bankrupt. And this is by Sonami Kothar, the Poor People's Campaign ahead of its June 18th gatherings. So this is a while ago. It's calling out the false pro-corporate rhetoric on poverty, wages, and inflation. Newspaper headlines are warning of rising inflation and the possibility that voters will respond to it by pushing Democrats in the midterm elections this fall, But there are few, if any, headlines about the enormous numbers of Americans who are low income and poor and a travesty in one of the world's wealthiest nations. The problem of poverty is marked by several factors, the first of which is a deeply flawed government indicator of who qualifies as poor. Measured by the federal poverty line, about 37 million Americans live below the poverty line. That's about 11% of the population. So you can say we can write that off. There's only 11% of the population that live in poverty. Hey, Earl, that's not so bad. That means 89% of the American people are living well because they don't live in poverty. You live above the poverty line, you somehow think that that's a good place to be. But then when you look at it from a different perspective, many millions more Americans who live one emergency expense away from poverty. The Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, relies on economic calculations showing that 140 million other Americans, more than 40% of the population, are poor or low income. So, may not live below the poverty line, but they are poor or low income. So, Sam, I don't, you know, poverty, low, or poor in, poor or low income, I guess it's kind of hard to say, well, if the poverty line is $37,000 a year or 37,000 a year for a family of three or four, and you're making $40,000 a year, a family of three or four, you somehow don't fall in that same category. Somehow people think that, well, that's not as bad. But when 140 million people fall in that category, 40% of the population, and then you add the other 11% of those who live below the poverty line, we're almost talking one in two Americans on financial insecurity, in trouble. And again, the wealthiest nation on earth, why is that? And why is that tolerated? And why is that acceptable? When we look at the money that's flowing like milk and honey throughout this nation, and the fact that we know it's only a handful of people who have created the laws that manipulate the masses of us, the rest of us. They've created the rules to the game that all of us are trying to play, and the rules are situated in such a manner that you and I will never be able to win the game. But as Tom from L.A. always says, we are the masses. We are the people. Why do we then allow ourselves to remain as pawns? The second factor is mainstream media coverage that routinely skews in favor of wealthy elites by downplaying the extent of poverty. For example, when President Joe Biden cited the PPC's estimate in an address in June of 2019, the Washington Post engaged in a lengthy fact-checking investigation interviewing numerous analysts who nitpicked over the difference between poor and low-income people, saying the two terms sound alike, but they are described different economic conditions. But I just got through saying it does not matter, you know, whether you are considered to be below the federal poverty line and 37% of Americans fit that bill, or if you considered poor or low income, 140 million Americans fit that bill, you are still struggling to make it in this society that everybody claims to be the easiest place in the world to make it. I said it before, I'll say it again. It is not the easiest place in the world to make a living. It is one of the most difficult. And people may say, well, what are you talking about? It can't be. There's nobody suffering in this country. If you want to see suffering, you know, go to Bangladesh. And you'll see some people really suffering. Stop it already, Earl. You're always exaggerating, making up these things in order to put our nation down. No, that's not what it is. We're talking factually. That there are so many people continuing to suffer in this horn of plenty, which is what our nation is. We're at a point now again that people are going to make decisions once again on this. Actually, the midterms, which are just months away, and people are going to be hurting. And they're going to somehow make decisions based on the fact that they're hurting. And they're going to believe, you know, the lie that Republicans are going to do a better job with this. And they're going to help you and things will get better. We swear, because we're Republicans, you know, Joe Biden messed it all up. The Democrats messed it all up. And so people are going to say we're going to punish the Democrats, not realizing who they're going to be punishing is themselves. Because ongoing, what Republicans have been talking about and what Republicans have been doing are two completely different things. Easy to follow. You don't have to be, you know, Tom Nelson to understand that people are saying one thing and doing another, especially those who come down on the side of conservatism. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to talk about a little bit now about something I constantly gripe about, and I'm never going to stop griping about it because it's at the center of some of all the things that are wrong, and why we can talk about the fact that there are Americans struggling to make it every day, and then we have people who don't want to do anything to help them because we don't have any money to help them is what is constantly talked about. And, you know, if they would only try hard, they would be able to make it. Look, after all, I made it, you know. I mean, nobody gave me anything. Look at what I've been able to do. But at the root of this, of one of the major issues that impact and affect this society and makes it impossible almost for people to lift themselves is our Pentagon budget. We are talking about, and my good friend Sandy Williams predicted this, projected that once we went into Ukraine, I mean, once the Ukrainian war started, that At the end of it, the defense budget for our government is going to go through the roof. And sure enough, the Pentagon gets more money, and Americans pay the price. Now, you may not bother you that they keep pouring money into the Pentagon. You may say, I'd much rather give the money to the Pentagon so we can stay safe than I would to my fellow countrymen. Because, you know, if my fellow countrymen would try harder, just try a little harder, they'd be able to make it and stop asking for handouts. Well, there are people clearly who feel that way. And that's why in the face of the gouging that goes on, you know, with the Pentagon and its budget that has never been balanced, and nobody seems to care about it. Bipartisanship is a rare and endangered species in today's bitterly divided Washington, except for when it comes to one thing, the Pentagon budget. From Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her fellow House Democrats to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his fellow Senate Republicans, all agree the Defense Department, which already boasts a budget higher in comparable dollars than its levels during the Cold War and bigger than the combined military budget of the next 9 highest spending countries must have more money. The only argument is how high the top line should go. Ironically, the lone area of bipartisanship consensus is a tribute not to the wisdom of the center, but to its folly. Even as the military budget keeps going up, Americans are growing less and less secure. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Does this bother you at all? Is it anything about the fact that in the face of everything, you know, and all the struggles that all of us are dealing with, and you may say, well, inflation's affecting the Pentagon too. You know, we're not getting what we need for what we're spending, the money that's coming into us. We surely need more because inflation is eating the dollars up that we've been allocated. We all can say that. The problem is that we can claim that, but there's nobody coming to our rescue. There are people coming to the rescue of the Pentagon. And so there's never enough because we don't demand that you've already had enough. Maybe we don't feel, again, that we have the ability and the power to do that. Let me go back again to just how strong a stranglehold these people have on us. You know, doesn't matter what sporting event there is, got to have the flyovers. And I don't know how much money it costs to have those jets with all of that fuel and the price of fuel flying over. Whatever kind of game it is, maybe even a Little League baseball game. I've seen that. All of those resources that are going towards preparing for, you know, an eventual war, to fight war on 3 fronts, and yet in the face of everything else that we're dealing with, the Pentagon budget continues to climb. You know, I am more than tired of that. I wish that I had some power. Man, can you imagine what would happen if I had some power to snap my finger and say, let's address this issue, and people addressed it? You know, things would be getting better. But I know, you know, these things that matter to me and some others in this country can't even get an audience when it's 85 degrees outside and Friday, you know, and Summerfest is on the docket and some other things. Well, you know, that's not for everybody. Everybody's not going to be able to benefit from that. There's a segment of the population who's never been to Summerfest. Can you even imagine that there are people who've never been to Summerfest?
No, I've been going since I, you know, could walk, basically. It's just crazy to me.
There are people who've never been to State Fair.
Also crazy. Also so crazy to me. Like a staple of everything is both of those.
There are people who are too poor.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I don't know what a ticket for a Summerfest costs.
It's crazy now. $20+ for sure.
It's got to be more than that.
Yeah. Because,
you know, back when I was going, it was approaching 20. It might even be $40 now. And State Fair, I don't know what the ticket is for State Fair.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while. But if you're doing rides on top of that and all the food and everything, like, you're done.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the rides.
You got to do the rides.
Yeah, well.
But it'll break the bank.
Not anymore for me.
Oh, I'll get a little sick, but I'll watch from afar.
But my point is, you are right. If you are taking a family to, so I took, young man I'm raising and my wife to You ever heard of Dave and Buster's?
I have. I haven't been because I'm a little on the broke side, but I've heard amazing things.
So I went to Dave and Buster's for just a couple hours. You know, he loves video games. And so you add dinner and whatnot into that, and you're into $140, right?
Easy.
Yeah, $140, $150. And this is just, you know, just on a whim. There's nothing to do, you know. Let's take him to Dave and Buster's. Well, you're out $140. And so, you know, you go to a Brewer game. Go to a baseball game. Many people are prohibited from going to those things because it breaks the bank.
A drink is like $10 there. It's crazy.
Well, a beer is almost, you know, I'm amazed when I see guys coming back with four beers, and beers are $10 to $15 for a beer. Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Or you can text us at that same number. You know, Sam, I used to always, even though as much as I love the summer, I would always start getting nervous right around the end of June. You know why?
Why?
Because I would say, and even though June 21st is officially the first day of summer, I would start thinking, oh, man, half the year is already gone, and June is one of our warmer months. It's already gone.
Wow, I didn't even think about that, Earl.
And I would always start saying, it got away from me, and I didn't take advantage of the fact that it's one of our warm months. I didn't take advantage of it enough.
Right? I'm not tan enough for it to be halfway done.
I just know that when you live in the kind of climate that we live in, you really can't afford to take for granted any week of warm weather.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure something, take advantage of it, make sure you're out in it and enjoying yourself. I think it's a cardinal sin when you live in a state like ours and it's 70, 80 degrees outside. And if you can help it, if you're in any physical condition or you don't have maladies that keep you from doing it, I don't understand why people aren't out, right? I know people who still stay in the house even when the weather's warm. And I would ask, why, do you know it's 75 degrees and the sun is shining outside and it's June and you're in the house? You know. And so, you know, I'm just speaking of me. I know there's probably no one else in the listening audience who thinks the way I think when it comes to that. But, man, June is almost over. Now, I mean, you know, we got July, August, September.
4th of July snuck up on us, I feel. Even Summerfest. I'm like, wait, that's this weekend? Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, they do sneak up on you. But it's because it's such a long period of hibernation. You know, you really don't want to not take advantage of every minute of the summer and the warm weather, and so I let it get away. But I guarantee you, I'm not going to let July get away, and I'm not going to be sitting back in doing what I've done too many times, wake up and, hey, what happened to the summer?
Mm-hmm. You and a lot of people, yeah, too.
You know, and you know, when you're working, you know, and you don't get a chance to get out and you got so many other things going. I tell you, I'm as busy in my life now as I ever was. And sometimes that's good, but sometimes it's not so good because you don't get a chance to stop and smell the roses. And it's great having an opportunity to be on the airwaves. I'm not unmindful of that. And I know that it's great to be able to talk to people and for people to think that there's something you have to say that has some value. There's something that's soothing to the ego about that. But the other side of that, the flip side of that is, you know, when you do this 5 days a week, the commitment that you have to make to it, and so sometimes makes it a little more difficult. And I guess people can say it about any job, but I don't see this as a job. And I never did, and I never will. It does take some time, but this is a privilege to be able to be on these airways and say and do the things that we get to do, and the fact that somehow in all the things that people do, as busy as their lives are, that, you know, that they'll turn on the radio and listen to us. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that you spend time in parks, Sam?
Not as much recently, but there's some really nice ones around Waukesha and Milwaukee.
There are beautiful, beautiful parks. And I'm going to tell you one of the things I kind of miss the most. Sandy and I, last year, used to just get out and walk miles, right? We'd go downtown Milwaukee. We'd walk all over the river walks everywhere. Beautiful day, Lake Park. We're out in the parks early, walking 8 miles, 10 miles a day, Sandy and I, and I really miss that, you know, having that time and opportunity early in the morning before the heat sets in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, enjoying your life doesn't always cost money, right? I mean, we get to a point where we think that the only way to be able to enjoy your life is to have money and spend that money. We talked about State Fair. We talked about Summerfest. I think we're spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, especially my generation. Yeah.
It's not just your generation. It's all of us. You know, because enjoy some of the simpler things in life. And people may say, well, what are you talking about, man? There's simpler things in life. You know, I don't fish, right? But I know people who do. You fish?
No, but my grandpa was a big fisher, my whole family.
Yeah, and so
very peaceful.
Yeah, and so there are people who just will take their fishing rod and go out. They don't have to be in a boat. They don't have to have a boat. And I kind of envy people whose lives, and I don't want to use the term simplistic or simple, because I don't mean that in a negative sense.
Not at all.
But the fact that they can have found something that they love and enjoy that doesn't cost them an arm and a leg.
Right? It's hard. It's hard to find hobbies in general, let alone free ones. But it's important for your own sanity, your own health, like everything in life. Like, you need one of my favorite ones recently is going to one of the beaches in Milwaukee and looking for sea glass along the shore and enjoying the the lakefront and all of that. And, you know, I have a big collection now of satisfying sea glass.
So what's sea glass? I think I kind of know a little bit what that is.
Yeah, it's honestly the trash that people throw into the lake, and it over time the waves kind of make it smooth and nice and cloudy, and it's kind of pretty, and I make art with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to, it's one of the very few free activities I do enjoy.
Yeah. So over time, the waves and all of that will take off the edge
right,
of the glass.
And smooth it out so it's right. not sharp or anything. And it's really pretty. And there's some different colors and all of that, like brown bottles and green and clear, all that good stuff.
You know, I should, I'm sitting here thinking I should go down to the lake. I guess I missed when it was really, really hot. But I guess it's warm enough down there now.
Oh, yeah, dip a toe.
Well, I don't know about dipping toes. But, but I mean, just I do enjoy that. But I miss that, you know, doing those kinds of things. And it's because your life becomes so busy. But the other side of all of those things, as my life has changed and you know, I want to be the kind of person that stays active in my life, no matter, and barring, you know, some unforeseen medical issue and the evil consequences of time that overtake all of us,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay active. I'm going to be a guy who's always going to have more on my plate than I don't have on my plate. And there's just something I think that kind of works in the spirit of a person to stay active and busy. And I've seen people who, I mean, I know guys who retired when I did. And we were very young when we retired. We retired, many of us, at 48 years old. And, you know, 30 years and out. You could start at 18. And you were retired from your job at 48. And I know I retired at about 50. So I've been retired 17 years and counting. And that's a young age to retire. But I haven't ever not been doing something in those years. And I don't ever see myself not being engaged or involved and active in these years that we have left. But I would say to anybody, listen, I didn't create it. I'm not the person who said it, but get up, move around if you can. And continue to do that until, you know, you can't do it anymore. Because there's going to come a point in time where we won't be able to do it anymore. We don't know when, but we know it will happen. That's what the life is. And so while you still got an opportunity to get up and move around, by all means, move around. Got to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. said, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen to this, Sam. This is one of those things that make you say, oh, really? Close to 500,000 Americans die annually from the effects of smoking or secondhand smoke, making it the leading preventable cause of death in the U.S. What?
That's crazy. But also, I'm not surprised.
Well, but I'm saying, after all of these decades, that there's been a battle and a fight to get people to understand the dangers of tobacco and the fact that it's still legal, and the fact that that many people are still dying from cigarettes and tobacco. Sam, at the same time, the people are saying you shouldn't want to smoke any weed. Why are we allowing people to smoke weed? Nobody can point to statistics that say 500,000 people are dying from smoking marijuana.
I just hear tobacco. So
why is it that we know 500,000 people are dying from smoking cigarettes and tobacco,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay, but we want to raise such a ruckus of people who smoke marijuana? That's another one of those things that make you say, really?
Or, you know, even just alcohol in general. Exactly. Tobacco, alcohol, it's all fine.
The Biden administration this week launched a broadside attack against big tobacco in an effort to break its hold over millions of Americans. The Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday announced it will seek a rule forcing dramatic reduction in the amount of nicotine in cigarettes. I bet those of you who are listening in this audience thought that we had kind of gotten over the hump with cigarettes and tobacco in this country. Those of you who've been around a little while, remember when we first started seeing the commercials that challenged Salem. How many of you remember Lucky Strikes, Camels? When you look at all of the people who have died from tobacco, if we were somehow able to put all those figures together of all the lives that were lost because of the fact that we knew tobacco was killing people, and we let it continue to go, even to this day, we still know that tobacco is killing people. And yet, well, we'll put it on the package. We'll put it in writing. You got us. You know, I'm the tobacco industry. Okay, all right. Uncle, you got us. You know, you caught me. Yes, you're right. We've been doing these things. Instead of the government saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to let you poison the American people anymore, they agreed to a compromise. We'll put on the package, cigarette smoking may be dangerous to your health. Well, if it's dangerous to your health and you know it's dangerous to the people's health, then stop manufacturing it and stop selling it to the people. Well, we don't want to do that, freedom. We don't want to take away people's freedoms and people's rights.
Or that fat truck.
Yeah, but that's in essence what it is. But they'll hide behind people's rights.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take that away. People have a right to die from smoking cigarettes if they choose. Well, people aren't making the decision to die from smoking cigarettes. It's the fact that they've been hooked
mm-hmm.
because of what you put in the tobacco. Maybe you all don't know that they put a chemical on the tobacco that addicts you to it. And everybody's known that forever. they don't want to let you get away with just liking to smoke a cigarette. They want to make sure you keep coming back. And so they add a chemical to the tobacco. So should the tobacco companies be allowed to continue to do that? Well, yeah, they are. Because, again, as Tom Nelson and I were talking about, that tobacco lobby is stronger than the 500,000 people, who die a year from tobacco. Now, listen to this. 1,300 Americans a day dying from tobacco-related causes, even though 1,300 Americans a day die from tobacco-related causes. How can that be when they so many people have given up smoking cigarettes? I used to smoke. I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to smoke weed. I've been able to overcome both. But I was able to give up smoking cigarettes because once I started realizing, hey, look, and reading what it was doing to me, I wanted to live, right? They put stuff on it to addict you to it. Why can't we as a society do what's in the best interest of our people? It's what I constantly talk about. You know, why can't we prevent and force these tobacco, the tobacco industry, to do something to stop poisoning the American people? I get it. You know, you're all right. I know many people who died from lung cancer. You know, not recently, but going back 30 years, people who died from lung cancer, from throat cancer. And yet, it's still going on. I always wonder if things will ever change in this country. The older I get, the more I realize they're not going to change because we live in a country that is again, it believes that he who has the most gold rules and that money is the god of this nation. That's what's at the root of all of it. But anyway, thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sam, for another good week. I'm going to get out and enjoy the weather. I don't care if it's cutting grass or planting some flowers. I'm going to be out of the house and moving around. You should do the same. I'll be back on Monday. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Sam, I'll see you. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.